morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate Brother Tony reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, because we're going to look over these verses a little bit this morning. If you will, take your Bibles and open up again to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, when I was a child, growing up, you know, watching cowboy shows, I foolishly thought that the good guys always triumphed over the bad guys. The bad guys would get caught and punished. But I soon, as I grew older, come to realize that that's not the truth. Many of those that are guilty escape, but yet there are many who are innocent that are condemned. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul reminds us of a very important truth, I believe, about courts. Now, not the kind of court where you sit with the judge up on a bench and the lawyers and the jurors and the party that's being judged. But these are the courts of public opinion. You know, opinions are basically like Adam's apples. Everybody's got one. But does your opinion of what you believe someone is doing or not doing, is it correct? Just because you have an opinion does not make you right. We can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, read with me, if you will, starting in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. You know, here Paul was defending basically himself because of the opinions of others. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Because Paul, when he became an apostle, differently from the rest of the apostles, it subjected him to constant distractors. Those who were trying their best to silence him, accusing him of all sorts of different things. They accused Paul of being weak in person, but very bold and very strong in letters. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. The word that's being used here is someone. Basically, what's being talked about, someone who is very bold. You know, it's kind of like social media today. People will say just about anything to anyone because they are guarded by that social media. They're not face to face. They're not in person. Many times people will say things on social media that they would never, ever say to someone they are standing next to. And Paul had the same problem. These people here, they're saying his letters are very weighty and powerful, but his presence is very weak. They basically said that he was fickle. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I propose, do I propose according to the flesh? That with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. But God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. You know, there were those that were claiming, and because of their own opinion, that Paul was a very fickle person. Someone who was not steadfast. Basically claiming that Paul was wishy-washy. Whichever way the wind blew, that's the way Paul leaned. But you know, they even claimed that Paul was advocating doing evil so that good could come. Romans chapter 3 and verse 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported that some had affirmed that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. These people hated Paul so much, and these people, I mean, many times it was the Jews, that they were basically spreading their opinion about Paul to weaken his effectiveness when he was preaching the gospel. They even proclaimed that he was promoting himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul is trying to combat all of these negative things that people, especially the Jews, were saying about him. But you know what? Notice what's being said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. This is Jesus speaking. If we do not have enemies, and Paul had many, then maybe we're doing something wrong. Now, John did not say go out and make enemies. What I said was, if we do not have some enemies, then perhaps we're doing something wrong. Because the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified will ruffle feathers. Standing on the principles of the New Testament, believing that baptism is what saves us through faith, ruffles feathers. It makes people angry. When we try to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, is through Jesus and Him crucified. Again, people are going to be upset. When we stand on the truth of New Testament teaching, people are going to get mad. Paul had his distractors. And because of the court of public opinion, they tried their best to silence him, to get to where Paul would not be listened to, that people would not obey what Paul taught and preached. What about ourselves? Are we worried about public opinion? Are we concerned about what others may say about us because we believe in Jesus, that we believe in baptism, that we believe that you can fall from grace? Are we afraid of public opinion? You know, most of us, we want to be liked by everybody. We want people to hold us in high regard many times. But the fact is, if we have no enemies, then perhaps we are doing something wrong. Now, the next court that I want us to look at is the court of personal opinion. Notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. You know, we all have our opinions, do we not? You know, I kind of look at opinions like fingernails. Everybody has them, but it's how we use them that makes a difference. How we feel about ourselves is not a very safe guide. You know, we have, and I know I've said this many times, we have many people who proclaim, I love Jesus, but yet you very rarely or if ever see him inside an assembly for worship. Well, I don't really believe you have to go to church to be saved. That's a personal opinion. But how we feel about ourselves is not a very safe guide. Proverbs 28, verse 26. The psalmist, or Solomon here, tells us very plainly, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. A fool trusts in his own heart. The word there, trust, literally is confident or takes security in. You know, I've had many people over the years that you ask them simple question, are you saved? 9 times out of 10, the answer you get is, I think so. I hope so. Are you saved? I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. But I feel in my heart that I am. So, by what we read here, trusting in that heart that makes you think that you're saved is not a very good gauge of your salvation. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, For we dare not to make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. You know, measuring ourselves by ourselves is very unwise. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Who should we be comparing ourselves with? Now, it's not really a trick question. Should you, as a Christian, sitting here right now, should you be measuring yourself, comparing yourself with the preacher? What about one of the other men or women in the congregation? Should we not be comparing ourselves by God's Word, Jesus Christ? Should we not try to live the life that Christ lived? Now, I know, granted, Christ lived a perfect, sinless life, and we struggle going one day without sin. But trusting in our own heart, trusting in our own selves, is not going to get us to heaven. We cannot measure ourselves by ourselves, because that's being very unwise. Notice, if you will, Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Before Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, what did he do? He persecuted the church. In his heart, in his eyes, he believed truly that he was doing God's will. He had a good conscience before God. He was measuring himself by himself. He was trusting in his own heart, trusting in his own confidence. But Paul, or Saul at this time, was completely wrong. The court of public opinion, we should not be afraid of. As long as we are standing justly in God's Word, in Jesus Christ, living as faithful life as we possibly can, then we must not be worried about public opinion. And we need to be careful about our own personal opinion about ourselves. Because trusting in ourselves, trusting in our heart, will lead us many times in the wrong direction. So what is the last court that we want to look at this morning? Notice, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and shall make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God." The court of divine opinion. It's what God thinks about us. It's what God knows about us. It's God's opinion that we need to be concerned about. Not the public opinion, not our personal opinion, but the divine opinion. This is the only court that matters. Because God's judgments are infallible. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That it be far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now hopefully, you all understand what's being talked about here. If not, you need to read Genesis 18. Abraham literally bargaining with God concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. It was revealed to Abraham that God was going to destroy the city because of the wickedness. And Abraham started bargaining with God. Well, now, wait a minute, God, you know, you can't kill the righteous with the wicked. Would you stay the city if there's 50 righteous found? And the Lord said, yeah, if there's 50, I'll not destroy it. Well, Lord, what about maybe if there's only 40? And he goes all the way down to 10. You know, 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. And the Lord said, yeah, if there's even 10 there, I'll not destroy the city. But as we know, there was only one. The only one. God's judgment is infallible. In Genesis 18 and verse 25, it was the opinion of God, because of the wickedness, that he was going to destroy the city. God's judgments are thorough. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God's judgments are going to be very thorough. He's going to judge the bad and the good. Now, this is not God counting. Okay, don't misunderstand. This is not God counting. Well, you've got 10 bad things, but over here you've got 11 good things, so you get to come to heaven. And that's not what's being talked about. Because we cannot work our way into heaven. This is talking about whether it be good or bad, whether you've lived obediently or not. God's judgment is thorough. And God's judgment is penetrating. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Again, remember what over here? Whether good or bad? With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Again, The court of divine opinion is what truly matters. It's not a public opinion. It's not our personal opinion. It's God's divine opinion. The problem is this. Too many times we're too worried about public opinion. We want to make, you know, everybody happy. We don't want to step on anybody's toes. Everybody gets to go to heaven. We're worried that someone may not agree with us. And then the personal opinion. I feel in my heart that I'm saved. But the thing that we need to be worried about, the thing that we need to take to heart, is God's divine opinion. We are constantly being judged by one of these three courts. But only the judgment of God is the one that matters. Nothing else. No public opinion, no personal opinion matters. So let me ask you this, and then we'll close. If you were called before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ at this very moment, how would you plead? Better yet, what would God rule? Good or bad? So this morning, if you're here and you're in need of prayer, for whatever the reason may be, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus, the loving shepherd, calls me now to come into the fold of safety, where there is rest and room. Come in the strength of manhood, come in the